A call to live, a call to die, a call to spend your life for Jesus, here and around the world till he returns. These are the stories and conversations about God's mission and the people dedicating their life to it. I'm your host, Paul Aiken, Provost and Professor of Missions at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. This is Amazon to the Himalayas. Welcome to Amazon to the Himalayas podcast. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about the SEND Network. The SEND Network is the church planting arm of the North American Mission Board. SEND is the largest church planting network in North America. And since 2010, they have planted over 10,000 churches in strategic cities across North America. I'm talking today with Vance Pittman, who serves as the president of the SEND Network. Vance's background involves church planting in Las Vegas, where he planted and pastored Hope Church for over 20 years. He's married to Christy. They have four children and a growing number of grandchildren. Vance and I have been friends for more than a decade, and I'm encouraged every time I get the opportunity to spend some time with him. Vance, welcome to the podcast.
Paul, it is an honor to hang out with you. I always love it. Love when we get to do stuff together. I always love, too, the way people enunciate SEND Network, because when you say it fast, it sounds like I'm president of SEND Network. And listen, I used to be president of that one prior to Jesus as well, but I love how people always enunciate SEND Network.
SEND Network. We got to make sure we're clear about what we're talking about.
Exactly right.
Why don't we start with you just telling us a little bit about yourself? Maybe give us like the 2-minute version, the background of Vance Pittman.
Yeah. Born and raised in the Bible Belt, grew up in a pastor's home, but didn't come to Christ till I was a freshman in college. Had religion, but not relationship. Came to know Christ in college, began to have my life transformed by the gospel and growing in intimacy with Christ. Surrendered to ministry, did a decade of ministry in the Bible Belt, student ministry, senior pastoring, and then reached a point where God put a specific call on our lives. We really thought we were headed overseas globally. We put a yes on the table to say we want to go to a city and reach people with the gospel and plant churches. And God opened the door for us to be sent out of First Baptist Woodstock, Georgia, to Las Vegas, Nevada, to plant a church. And so in December 2000, we get to Vegas. We spent 23 years in that city, planted a church there that saw about 5,000 people baptized into the fellowship over those 20 plus years. So it was a church of all predominantly first generation believers. About 4,000 people gather each weekend there for worship, representing about 54 first languages. The church has been a part of planting about 80 churches out of the church in partnership with others. And let's see, 2 years ago, I accepted a phone call from Kevin Ezell. He tried to get me for 10 years to take this role. And I kept saying, no, I'm in Vegas. And he invited me to step into this role. And it was at a time when we knew God was doing some stuff in our lives. I didn't want to be the guy that stayed too long at the church that he planted and pastored. I wanted to pass the baton in a healthy way. So had a young leader that had been with me 15 years, passed the baton to him. He's now leading the fellowship there. And we've just, in the last couple of months, relocated to Atlanta. For the last 2 years, been leading SEND Network through the North American Mission Board and loving what we're doing.
Awesome. So you've been president now for 2 years or so, I guess, of SEND Network. Tell us a little bit about, tell us about SEND Network, history, background, how did it get started? Why did it get started? What's the goal, purpose of the organization?
Yeah, great question. So SEND Network is the church planting arm of the North American Mission Board, which is the North American Mission Agency for the Southern Baptist Convention. Back in the 2000s, there was a Great Commission task force that looked at all of our entities, specifically our two mission agencies, recommended some changes at NAM with an intensified focus on church planting being one of those. Around that same time, about 2010, Kevin Ezell was hired as the president of North American Mission Board. And Kevin's first phone call when he was hired as president of NAM was he called me in Vegas because I'd been planting out there for about a decade and said, he said, Vance, I've been tasked with making NAM more focused on church planting. I need you to help me. He said, put together a room of 10 guys that are the best church planting thought leaders that you know. So I contacted 10 guys. We met together in Atlanta, Georgia at what's now the North American Mission Board headquarters with Kevin. And we spent a couple of days talking church planting. What came out of that over the next couple of years, Kevin hired about four people in that room. And what was birthed by 2015 is its official launch. But over the next 2 to 3 years, what was built was SEND Network, which is the now the largest church planting network in North America. So 2015 is when it officially launched, but the inner workings were being done from like 2011, 12, 13, 14. It was in a process of being built. People like Aaron Coe, Jeff Christofferson, myself, Tahati Lewis, others have been a part of building this. I was always kind of on the outside working on it from the role of being a field missionary and pastor, but that's why we started. It was really about coming alongside the churches of the SBC, seeing them mobilized to engage in church multiplication, believing that God's kingdom being expanded among cities and nations all over the world is the big picture goal, but the only tool he gave us is the multiplication of disciples and churches. And so we felt like our job was to be about mobilizing churches to plant churches everywhere for everyone, and that's why Send Network exists.
That's awesome. You know, one of the million-dollar questions always in when you talk with a mission-sending organization or a church-planting organization is, what is the role of the local church play with the mission organization? And so I would love to hear you talk about, yeah, what does that look like for Send Network? How do you guys partner with local churches then to plant local churches?
Yeah, well, the short answer to the question, what is the role of the local church? It's everything. Denominations don't plant churches. Networks don't plant churches. Individuals don't plant churches. Biblically, churches plant churches. In the New Testament ethos, the New Testament missiology, church planting teams were sent out by local churches. The most famous would be Paul and Barnabas, or Paul and that team of people sent out of the church at Antioch. They went on a multi-year church planting journey around all those regions where they sailed and traveled, but ultimately always came back to the church at Antioch to report on what God was doing, because the church at Antioch was the church ultimately that was, I mean, a lot of people think most impactful church in the New Testament is the church at Jerusalem because it was first and largest, but really the greatest church planting church we read about in scripture is the church at Antioch. The church at Antioch was the one that sent out the missionary team to be about planting churches. The first churches planted on the continent of Europe were planted out of the team sent from the church at Antioch. And many of us in North America trace our faith heritage back to the churches in Europe. And so it's that church at Antioch that had such a significant impact. So what role does the church play? The church plays the entire role, because that's God's design for the mission being accomplished. Mission agencies simply exist to serve and come alongside the local church. So our job at Send Network is to serve the local church in that mission of joining in God's activity of expanding his kingdom in cities and nations through multiplying churches and disciples. So we're simply, as a network, a family of churches planting churches everywhere for everyone.
Praise the Lord. You know, as you think about churches planting churches, you know, one of the things we think about with Paul and his apostolic teams in the New Testament is he was identifying leaders and training up new leaders. I know that's key to what you guys do. How do you vet church planting candidates? How do you screen and assess those that you're going to be kind of putting your emblem on and sending out as church planters?
That's a great question, Paul. And it's one of the ways we think we bring value to the local church because of our expertise in the field of planting, because it's the only thing that we're tasked with focusing on. We can often serve the local church in helping them assess candidates that they think might be potential planters to be sent out of that local fellowship. So because we believe churches plant churches, we partner with those churches and highly value their opinion in the process of assessing those planters. So ours really falls into two categories in how we help them vet. Number one is a pre-assessment. We have a thorough pre-assessment that we help the church walk the planter through, which would include interviews by our field staff with both the sending church and the planting candidate or couple in order to understand their alignment theologically, doctrinally, missiologically with SBC in our context. Then we do background checks for them that include both criminal and financial and credit checks on the planters and their couples. We do a pre-assessment that includes a 360-degree analysis that includes six different people speaking into the planters' lives and about the spouse and their situation. We do a series of questionnaires that they fill out that gives the assessment team that's going to walk with them at the actual assessment a lot of information to draw from. We do a marriage and health assessment. All that's before they ever get to our two-day in-person assessment. So we get all this information that we're able to have in hand when we invite them into a two-day assessment. And then at the two-day assessment, we assess them in nine different areas of calling, competency, and readiness. We're actually in the process now of tweaking our assessment because I think in the day that we're living in today, we need to raise the bar on both theology and preaching. And so we're raising the bar in our assessment. And I'll talk about that in maybe some of the other questions that we'll get to. But at that assessment, that's what we're doing. And we don't use staff to run the assessment. We use local assessment teams. We have 21 assessment centers that we have 42 assessments annually, and we build local teams that are local church based. So a local church in a city would pull together a team of planters, business professionals, marriage family therapists, experienced leaders, and those would for 2 days do a full assessment of this planting couple in these 9 areas of calling, competency, and readiness. At the end of that, it's not a pass-fail. We walk through a process of providing a growth plan. It's kind of like a red light, green light, yellow light format. And based on where they score through the pre-assessment and the assessment, we then give to the sending church. We don't give this to the planter. We give to the sending church. Then the sending church and planting couple discuss this, a growth plan to help them prepare for a full readiness, which may include, hey, we need you to take some financial classes, or we need you to get some seminary help on preaching, or maybe we need you to do a full residency for a year somewhere before you plant. And then we do some other things, like we work with Ministry Safe Training to work with them on the issues of the day. We do some checking on their affiliation with Baptist Faith and Message. All those types of things are included. So that's one of the areas of expertise. We come and we serve the church with that package to say, we'll help you vet your candidate, and we'll provide a growth plan so that you can then walk with your candidate, this couple, towards a real healthy plant.
That's good. I love the way that not only serves the church, but it also serves the planter. I mean, sounds like a rigorous, comprehensive process, but really getting them set up for what could be. I mean, we know church ministry, church planting can be kind of a difficult, challenging road. And so we want to make sure it's the right people that we're kind of investing
100%
to go do this work.
Paul, listen, when I started planting 23 years ago, assessment looked a lot like checking your pulse. And if you had one, we sent you. And the stat was, when I went to plant, 8 out of 10 churches planted failed back then. That was the failure rate. Yeah. I can tell you today that through Send Network, we have a 5-year 84% success rate through 5 wow. years.
Wow.
And I'm not saying that matters because the number. Here's why it matters. Every one of those failures is a husband and wife and a family who've walked through a crisis that, if assessed properly, probably could have been avoided. And many of them have not only shipwrecked in the ministry, they've shipwrecked in their faith because of the crisis that they walked through. Wow. And we have a spiritual responsibility for that. So the rigorousness of our assessment process is not so we can flex our biceps about how rigorous our process is. It's because we owe it to these couples to be good stewards of the yes that they've placed on the table, and to steward well their spiritual health and vitality along with their sending church.
Amen. And I think even for us, you know, collectively, to steward the trust that Southern Baptists have given to us in terms of
1,000,000%
that we represent and all those things. So I appreciate that.
Master of Divinity students who prepare for ministry on Southern Seminary's campus can save up to $1,800 each semester in tuition. Residential MDiv students now only pay for the first 9 credit hours a semester and can take up to 15 hours at no additional cost. Southern Seminary is making it more affordable than ever to prepare for a lifetime of faithfulness. Learn more at sbts.edu/newMDiv.
You mentioned something I want to kind of go on to for the next question, a good segue. You talked about kind of raising the bar maybe a little bit in terms of preaching and theology. In your opinion, I've asked this of every organization that I've interviewed, what's the role of theological education for potential church planters? Do you think that theological training is a help? Is it a hindrance? What do you think about that?
Love the question. And the first thing I want to do, Paul, is distinguish between two terms you're using. In the question, you use two different terms. You use theological education and theological training.
Training, yep.
Theological training, I define as adequate theological preparation. Theological education is an accredited seminary degree. Here's what I would say to that. All planters need theological training. All planters. Theological education is a way to accomplish that. But not all church planters fit the mold of the traditional seminary student. We're seeing a lot of planting that's happening right now, especially in some of our pioneer cities, places like Seattle and Las Vegas and New York City, where people are coming to faith in Christ and now in their 40s as business professionals are feeling led to begin to engage in church planting. they're not a 24-year-old college graduate who can pack up and move to seminary.
Sure.
And so we're having to create other methods. So, and I think a lot of seminaries are becoming much more fluid, a lot more online training available to bring that to the table. So I think it is imperative. I think more than ever before, we need theological training in the arena of church planning. And here's why I say that. With the demise of denominationalism and the rise of affinity-based networks, there is a demise of theological accountability in the world of church planting today. And what I mean by that is a lot of your church planting networks are around a style of church, a style of launch, a methodology of producing a church. And it's really not theology that's uniting them together. And in the old days, it was our denominations that held us theologically accountable. In the new genre of networks, there's a lack of theological accountability. That was safe 20 years ago when, from the ethical standpoint, you could assume all of us who profess to be gospel-centered evangelicals agreed on the major issues. That is not a safe assumption anymore. With issues like gender identity, marriage, all the stuff that we're seeing today, we must prepare our planters more than ever before to handle the theological issues of the day that are also ethical and moral issues of the day. And so we have to raise the bar. And it's one of the reasons why I've recently hired Tony Morita. Tony Morita is our new vice president of planter development to bring more robust theological training. And through some of our online platforms, like our new churches platform, we're going to begin to make opportunities available for guys and leaders to have access to theological training that we can get for them. And we've also hired Jeff Metters as our director of theology and content. Both of these guys are helping us raise the bar of theological accountability, because we're not just talking about theology. We're talking about the way we live that out in our everyday lives, where we live, work, and play. And it really does matter more than ever before, I think.
Yeah, that's a good word. I appreciate the distinction that you made there. And I'm encouraged to hear about, trying to deepen some of those theological roots that unite us together in work that we do. That's a good word. You know, when it comes to locations, obviously your scope is really North America. So that includes the United States, Canada, I know Puerto Rico, other locations as well. But what kind of locations does Send focus on in terms of sending planters? How is a location determined for a particular church planter or church planting family?
Another great question. I want to answer that in two ways. First of all, because we do believe churches plant churches, we want to come alongside the vision of a local New Testament church. If we have a church approach us, for example, that says, like the church I pastored and planted in Las Vegas, Hope Church, for 22 years, our passion was the Mountain and Pacific time zone. So anybody could come to our training, but we only funded and sent teams to churches that were being planted in the Mountain and Pacific time zone. We had a conviction personally as a church that God had raised us up. Others could plant in New York and Memphis and Nashville. We felt called to the Western United States. If we have a church like that, that has that calling, we'll follow their calling and vision and help them plant in the places where they feel called in North America that's within our purview. So we'll follow the vision of a local church plant and that team and the planter that they're sending. In addition to that, as Send Network, we have a North American strategy that's really designed to and you'll appreciate this, Paul, because of your background. I know it's something we share together. For me, it's never just North America. It's North America with a heart for the nations. Like, it's always about every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. So we're trying to plant in North America for the sake of the nations. And so what we've done is we've established a strategy and a vision to try to accomplish that. And I'm going to unpack it for you in about a minute if I can. So when I took this job, I began to look at North America. And North America is one of two continents in the world where Christianity is declining. Europe's the other one. On other continents, Christianity is exploding. But in North America and in Europe, the pie is shrinking for Christianity. And it's interesting, we have the largest churches on the American continent we've ever had, with fewer people percentage-wise attending church than we've ever had. So something is broken in how we're doing church in North America. There are roughly 285 million non-Christians in North America. So I asked the question, what would it take to reach 1%? What would it take to see 1% of North America come to faith in Christ? Could we potentially, by obeying the principles of multiplication, pass to our children and our grandchildren a changing of the trajectory of the kingdom in North America? And here's what I believe. You said it a moment ago. We've been a part of partnering with churches to plant 10,000 churches in the last roughly 12 to 13 years. What if we could plant 11,000 churches in the next 10 years? And all of those churches have into their DNA, they're going to plant at least one church out of their church. And every one of those 22,000 churches simply reach 150 non-believers for Christ. We're not talking mega churches. We're talking just 150 non-Christians come to faith in Christ through those new churches. You do the math, that's 2.85 million people. That's 1% of the population of North America. I don't believe we can create movement. I do believe we can obey the principles of multiplication and lift up the sails so that should the wind of the Spirit of God begin to blow, we can catch the movement of the Spirit of God. So I believe we can put together a plan that we could see 1% of the lost population of North America reached over the next decade. That's what we're doing. So we have that broken down into regions and cities. We have five regions across North America. We have regional missional teams that are leading in those five regions, partnering with churches. And then we've identified 32 send cities within those regions that were about 80% of the lost population of North America lives in those 32 send cities. So we have an intentional strategy to reach those 32 send cities, to mobilize churches, to plant churches there, and then outside of those cities and those regions of cities and states to see the same thing happen. And that's the vision that we believe God's called us to, and that's how we pick those locations.
I love that. That's encouraging to hear.
Master of Divinity students can save over $1,800 each semester by training for ministry on the Southern Seminary campus. Join us for our next Southern Seminary Preview Day to learn how the Master of Divinity will prepare you for a lifetime of faithfulness. Register today at sbts.edu/preview.
You just mentioned kind of five regions, 32 cities. I know serving as the president, you get to hear all kinds of things that are happening. My last question before we kind of shift gears into kind of some lightning round questions is, can you just briefly tell us maybe something that you've heard over the last 3, 4, 5, 6 months that God's doing through Send Network? Tell us a story about something that's happening that's particularly encouraging to you.
Okay, I'll give you a couple. First of all, I just got this report a couple weeks ago. One of the networks within our network, it's a family of churches within Send Network, is a network called Salt Network that focuses on reaching the 400 plus largest college campuses in North America. What I love about SALT is they don't just plant college ministries. They actually plant churches in the communities next to colleges and then target the campus as a primary evangelism strategy. We just launched a church in Eugene, Oregon, reaching the University of Oregon. I'm not talking about Memphis or Nashville or Atlanta. I'm talking Oregon, Eugene, Oregon. They launched in January. Their first public worship service had 440 people in attendance, 90 kids. They had a bunch of people come to faith in Christ. And we're talking Eugene, Oregon on Sunday number one. And the movement that's happening since then, it's growing. Like, it's incredible what's happening there. Saul Rexus is the planter there, sent out of a church in the Midwest. We're so excited about what's happening there in Eugene, Oregon. It's really, really exciting. Here's the second one. La Chapelle Church in Montreal, Canada. Montreal, Canada is one of the most secular cities in the world. Mm-hmm. For example, Oprah Winfrey recently did a tour of Montreal, and the local media called her a Bible-thumping conservative. So if that gives you any idea of where they are on the left-right spectrum in Montreal, they consider Oprah Winfrey to be a Bible-thumping conservative. Montreal, Canada was shut down for over 2 years during COVID. They weren't allowed to even meet in small groups as a church. You couldn't even have people in your home that were your own family for 2 years. It devastated this plant that was one of our best plants in Canada for 2 years shut down. They've come back since COVID, and now they are exploding again. They've seen so many people come to faith in Christ. They now have, they're running, I think, over 2,000 people at this church in Montreal. They have a planter that they're about to plant out of their fellowship to plant a second church in Montreal. It's crazy what's happening there in Montreal. Again, Montreal, Canada. Here's another one. In Salisbury, Maryland, Richard Pope is a church planner who's been diagnosed with terminal cancer. We just did a podcast on him called The Terminal Podcast, A Dying Church Planter. He told his story. He's literally had cancer for 3 years. He's on the terminal list. He's dying, but he wanted to plant the church anyway. Church runs about 180. They've baptized 200 people that are new believers in Christ. It's all new Christians. They're preparing to plant three churches out of their church right now. And get this, the podcast went out and so many people started praying for Richard. He just went to the doctor with a cold. He's getting no cancer treatment because he's been told he's terminal. There's nothing they can do. Went to the doctor with a cold that wouldn't go away. The doctor did a scan on his body and said, I don't know how to tell you this, but I got to pull you off the terminal list because you're no longer terminal with cancer. So we're going to have to change the name of the podcast to the used to be terminal podcast because he's no longer dying. It's just a miracle story. One last one. And again, because of your heartbeat, when I took this job, I have such a heart for the nations. I told Kevin, I said, I can't just focus on North America. He gave me the resources. Sin Network, NAM, is funding 100 church planters a year to go overseas to partner with IMB personnel on the field. Just had our first year of that. The stories are incredible, but get this, 92% of the planters we took with us had never partnered with the IMB before. So we're raising up the next generation of rope holders to carry the work of the mission of our convention of churches globally into the next generation. So those are some things we're just real excited about.
Praise the Lord, man. That's awesome. I appreciate you sharing that. I want to shift to some lightning round questions, some kind of quicker hitting questions, quicker responses. Yep. The first one is for you personally, favorite missionary ministry biography.
Okay. I'm going to give you two. I can't just do one. The one everybody knows, probably a lot of people say this one, is the autobiography of George Mueller, Life of Trust. Like, it's just his dependence on God, his faith, unbelievable. The second one is lesser known, but probably my favorite. And it's called Back to Jerusalem. It's written by Paul Hadaway, but it's the story of three Chinese church leaders during the church growth movement that happened in the church and the movement from the 1950s to around 1980 with the explosion of the church in China. Those two are my two favorite.
Okay. Awesome. Next question is a fill in the blank question. You can answer it however you want. The greatest challenge facing the Sin Network today is blank.
People saying, quote, send me a planter. I have churches all the time that contact me and say, man, we're ready. Send us a planter. The problem with that is planters don't grow on trees. They don't come out of factories. We don't produce them. The planters are sitting in the churches that are being pastored by the churches that are saying, send me a planter. We have to mobilize. When I took this job, out of 47,000 Southern Baptist churches, only 4,700 churches were engaged personally in church planting. We now have over 5,000 of those churches engaged in church planting. We need to get the number to 9,000. We're trying to get 9,000 churches personally involved in planting, and that's the biggest single obstacle we have.
That's good. Well said. Okay. Someone's listening right now to this episode, and they say, okay, Vance, you've convinced me. I want to be sent. I want to plant a church with the help of the Sin Network. What's their first steps? What advice would you give to them?
First step, man, go to sinnetwork.com. There's a link at the top of the page that says get involved. If you're a church wanting to get involved, we have an entire mobilization pathway for your church. Wherever you are, we want you to take your next step. If you've never been involved in planting before, we'll help you become a supporting church. If you've supported a planter, we have steps to help you become a sending church. If you've sent, but you're ready to become a multiplying church where you have a residency, we'll help you do that. If you've got such an incredible reputation in planting, you want to start sharing that with others, we'll help you become that. So wherever you are as a church, you can get involved through that link. Or if you're a planter, we have an entire pathway for planters to help them take their next step on the planting journey. So whether you're a church or a planter, go to sinnetwork.com, click the link, get involved, and we'll walk with you.
All right. Last question. You know, we have all kinds of different people who listen to these episodes. Maybe you have a couple of Sin Network church planters right now. They're listening to this episode. What message would you want to communicate to a Sin Network church planter who might be listening to this podcast interview?
Here's what I'd say. The mission of God is to expand his kingdom to every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. The goal is not your church plant. The goal is the kingdom of God among cities and nations. But here's the deal. The only tool he gave us for the expansion of his kingdom is the multiplication of disciples and churches. The mission demands we multiply disciples and churches. So that means you are the tip of the spear of God's global activity. Keep going.
Vance, thank you so much for your time, for the conversation.
Thank you, Paul. It's always an honor to connect. Love you, dude. Love hanging out.
To hear more conversations like this, please subscribe to this podcast. Be sure to follow us on social media. Thanks again for listening to this episode.
Amazon to the Himalayas is brought to you by the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. At Southern Seminary, we're preparing the next wave of missionaries, church planters, Bible translators, and more for a lifetime of faithfulness to the Great Commission. To learn more about how Southern Seminary can prepare you to take the gospel from the Amazon to the Himalayas, visit sbts.edu. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.